Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I like sucking,
but I ain't gay.
Legit bad podcast.
Fuck those honkies.
Kick ass.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
He really knows how to suck a wiener.
Welcome back to another episode of Legit Bat Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Joe.
I'm Jen.
Ben.
I'm the fly on the wall.
Oh, there we go. Hey, you all did it, though. That's going to work out really well in like six episodes when we finally remember to do that every time. But our guest today is Shook Daddy, a.k.a. Dan from Cosmic Keys. And we've talked to him before, but today we're going to kind of do a little something different. So Dan does an astrology podcast. And he does weekly forecasts. It's one of my go-to listens on Mondays. And it's not because I think he's correct at all. No, I'm just kidding. But it's because I like listening to that, like the star thing, like viewpoint for the week. And then just see how it lines up. And a lot of times, it lines up pretty fucking close. It's crazy how many times it does. So you can check his show out wherever you get podcasts. He's also on Rockfin here with us. So, Dan, anything else you want to cover as far as your intro goes and how hungover you are or whatever?
No, I don't think so. Thanks for having me, guys. I guess I'll throw it out there early. I made an astrology wall calendar. And for the Legit Bat listeners, if you go to my website and order it, I can give you a 30% off promo code legit23.
Nice.
So that's for all the fans out there. But thanks for having me, guys. I'm stoked to hang out again. It's last time we hung out, you were on my show. Joe and Jen were my Rockfin show, Speakeasy. And I've been listening to you guys. Like a lot of the podcasts lately I've had to unsubscribe from, or I'm just like, no more. But I you guys have survived. You guys, I still
good
to know.
So
haven't been unfriended.
No, yeah. And it's like, I like what you guys are doing. So it's cool.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to bring that up, actually. That's kind of one of the reasons we scheduled this, is to promote his calendar that he made. And he was kind enough to send us one last year. And I still have it out in my kitchen. And it's really cool because and even if you don't know much about astrology, it kind of shows you where the alignments are with the planets and all that stuff. And I mean, you can look into the depths of what that means individually or broad spectrum. But that's why I like Dan's view on it, is because he doesn't go into the typical astrology thing. Like you get an app that's like, oh, Scorpio, today you will be faced with an important, you know, decision or whatever, all these stupid things. Like
no.
He doesn't go into the minutia of that. It's more like Saturn's here and Mars is there, and that means that these two aspects are kind of, you know, be together, and then it's gonna kind of wane as the week goes on, and then this happens. And
we can let him do all that, babe. That was a good try, though.
No, I know. I'd say this is how I hear it.
I hate that shit. I remember when smartphones first thing, and I would look it up, and it was like, by the way, your ferocious when you don't like somebody, but you're just the sweetest person if they get on your good side. It's like, okay, so I'm the best of both worlds. Is that kind of like country songs with I love your greenish, bluish, brownish, blackish eyes? Like, is it something for everybody? Like, go fuck yourself. I want to hear it's like, no, you're a piece of shit this year, because those two things are going to influence you to do really bad stuff. Stay inside. Don't be an asshole. Okay, that's fair.
You're going to have watery shits. This week's going to be fun. Yeah. Be honest with me. So, yeah, let's start out. So, like I said, it's going to be a little something different because he pulled up our natal charts and we sent him all of our info. Ben sent me his birth year as 1900 because he's retarded and doesn't know his own birth year.
I fat fingered it. What do you want?
I fixed it. So let's start with that. And we'll start with Lene if you want, because she said she's never had her natal chart read before. So why don't we start with her? Why not?
Yeah. Do you want me to share? Well, I don't know how. First of all, some people don't want the world to really know their birth data. But are you guys okay with that? Like having your.
I don't care.
Okay.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not important. It don't matter.
Throw it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me. I could share the screen. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
I think I can.
It should be, this is such a thing every time on Zoom.
It's they like, change it all the time. Yeah.
No.
They're all, we're going to fuck with.
Oh,
people.
Wait. Yeah, you can.
There's a huge, there's just a huge button in the middle that says share screen. Huh?
Yeah. The green one. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. This is Lene. Y'all see that?
Yes.
Okay. So Lene, Sagittarius rising. For so this chart basically is like a 360 degree wheel, and the top half of the wheel, if you could imagine, is kind of like the sky above. Like, so the left side at the ascendant point right here is the eastern horizon, so where the sky begins. So everything above here would be like if you're looking up, and everything below is kind of what's below the horizon. So Lene was born at night, so that's a night chart, and she's Sagittarius rising. So the rising sign is like the starting point of everything, really. And the ruling planet of Sagittarius is Jupiter, and she has Jupiter in Pisces. So the first thing that stood out about Lene's chart is she's got a lot of planets in good shape. Like, all these little glyphs here on the chart are the different planets. And with the birth time, like, that's what made it a Sagittarius rising. So that's what puts Sagittarius right here. That's like the red part. Capricorn down here. And that like determines the order of the houses in the chart. And because it was like 11:47 PM, the sun in Aries is like below the horizon. So it's nighttime, it's dark out. If you were to look up at the sky, which is like the upper half of the wheel, there the sun is not up there, so therefore it's night. So does that make sense for like how the chart is laid out?
Yeah, you're saying that middle line is basically the horizon. So when she was born, that sun is on the farther end down below the horizon.
Yeah, exactly. So if she was born, you know, like 4 hours earlier, it would have, or however many hours earlier, like she was born at like 5 p.m. in November, the sun would be setting and it would be above in the upper half right of the wheel. But okay, so all of these little points are the planets themselves, and all of these little sections with like the green, yellow, blue, and red are the signs of the zodiac. And all the signs are one of the four elements: earth, air, fire, water. So like earth is green, so Taurus is green, air is yellow, Gemini is yellow, blue is water, Cancer is water, and red is fire. That's Leo. So that's just what I kind of walked through. But all these little points are the planets. So the chart shows what sign the planet was in, how far into the sign the planet was in, and then like where it was in the sky, like from where you were. So we casted the chart from Los Angeles. So at 11:47 p.m. on April 5th, like the sun was below the horizon in Aries at 16 degrees in the fifth house. So it was like that time of the day where it was the sun was turning and like below the horizon, you know, a little bit before midnight. So the chart shows what sign these little points were in, and then like where from the location that it's cast from did it fall. So that's why the time is really important. And the rising sign was like Sagittarius on the eastern horizon. That's like the starting point of like the rising. People are like, oh, my sun sign, I was born in April, you know, I'm an Aries. But the rising sign is actually kind of more important in a way. But back to what I was getting at, Linnae's chart has a lot of planets that are in good shape. There's certain areas of the zodiac that certain planets like to be in. They either rule the sign that they're in or they're considered exalted. So I'll just go down the line. Venus in Taurus, that's Venus is the ruler of Taurus, so she does good. Venus is the planet of relationships, so that's a strong Venus. Sun in Aries. The sun is exalted in Aries, so that's another good thing. Mercury in Pisces. That's actually the only technically like not good condition, because Mercury rules Virgo. And when it's opposite, which is like 6 months away, or just opposite on the wheel.
That's opposition, right? I know from listening to you.
Yes. That's the aspect. So like if you can picture Mercury is ruling this turf up here, Virgo season is like the end of summer where everybody's getting their shit together, like the harvest and all of that. Pisces season, which we're in right now, is the end of winter where you're taking, you know, a 2 hour Sunday nap, like not giving a shit, because it's like that time of year, you know. It's not back to school. It's not really anything. You're like waiting for the spring to arrive. So you're just kind of like sleepy and dreamy and whatever. So
I'm
Mercury,
not on winter, but really it's just any Sunday, any given Sunday. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But I literally did that today, so I'm just throwing that out there. But yeah, Mercury is like the logical planet, the mental planet of like binary data. It's logic, it's communication, it's speech.
That makes sense why it's in reverse for me.
Yeah. So for you, you have like the chill, like dreamy, the way you communicate and think is not, it's more poetic than technically like logical. Your moon is also in Pisces and Jupiter is in Pisces, and Jupiter is like the most positive planet in general. It's like the planet of good luck, good fortune, expansion.
The greater beneficent, is that what you call it?
Yeah, the greater benefic. So like Jupiter is, you and Joe have, you both have Jupiter in Pisces because you guys were both born in 86. So yeah, Jupiter is the ruler of Pisces. So that's another good one. Mars is in Capricorn. Mars is considered exalted in Capricorn. And then you have Saturn and Uranus in the first house, Sagittarius. So I just like these points throughout the chart are like the planetary points. And you definitely have a lot of well-placed planets. So like the Venus stuff, planet of relationships, you know, in Taurus. Venus is like at home in Taurus. Venus, as your planet, can function well in her home turf. The sun in Aries. Aries is the first day of spring. The sun is like the shining light. It's like your ego. So it's like the first day of spring, the sun likes being there. Jupiter in Pisces. Pisces is like a spiritual woo-woo, like watery, flowy sign. Jupiter likes to be in there. And then Mars in Capricorn. Capricorn is like the sign of the mountain goat, like ascending to the top of the mountain, and Mars is the planet of like action and willpower. So Mars likes that placement too. So it's showing for Linnae, like a lot of these subjects in your life, like relationships, your ego, your sense of hope, your sense of optimism, and your ambition can like function well, you know? So that's like, that's what stood out to me. Immediately was just that you have like good, well-placed planets in the chart. You have like Pisces down here is in the fourth house. So the first house, like I said, represents you, the individual. So you're Jupiter ruled. That's what we say. You look at the ruling planet of the first house and then say that planet is technically the most important planet in the chart. So you have Jupiter in Pisces, which is good. It's a strong placement in the fourth house of the home, close to your moon. So I could see you being like either like a homebody or like a kind of like a family values or like family, like, you know, the fourth house is like the sanctuary, you know. Opposite is the 10th house, which is like the 10th house is the highest point in the sky. So this is like the top of the sky at this moment was Virgo that night you were born. And then the most hidden part of the chart is the fourth house, which is like, you know, the nest. So you have Jupiter and the moon there. So even your emotion, the moon is like your emotions, and it's kind of like this. I could see you being just like kind of like an at home, like mystic, because Pisces is very kind of like mystical and kind of like flowy and creative and all of that. And your Mercury is down there too. So like your mind is kind of home focused and home centric, but I'm just rambling. But like the theory of astrology is that each month of the year is like a vibe, and that these planets like symbolically do good in certain vibes, do worse in other vibes. And Mercury, like I said, not as logical in Pisces. So yeah, the way Mercury in Pisces like thinks and communicates isn't as binary, like yes, no, like true, false. It's like a lot of maybe. So yep. If you find yourself like questioning or second guessing, like think about, okay,
everything all the time.
Well, I was going to say, think about the home and the family, and like, is that sort of like creating a bias in the way you're viewing things and in the way that
always,
and it's square Uranus too. So it's erratic. Uranus is an erratic, explosive, surprising energy. So you could just like, I could definitely, I could see your mind kind of like being like a little bit all over the place and a little bit illogical, but that can that can make you a good person to like quote unquote think outside the box or like be poetic, artistic. Like I would definitely, if you have any like creative hobbies or pursuits, you could definitely like express really well with this. But yeah, it's not like super good with being truly logical and truly like binary, I guess, because Mercury, even when you think of Gemini, the twins, like Mercury rules Gemini, communication is like back and forth, binary. And the two
hey, don't
fish,
hold back, dude. You can just say what you mean.
Oh yes,
yeah, I think logically thinking is overrated anyway.
Yeah. So
yeah, for sure.
We all know I'm not logical. I'm very open about it. It's fine.
But like I said, you your north node is in the sixth house of like daily work. You can really I think life is going to teach you to be more grounded and check things off your list, take care of your health and body. Like and I have this too. So it could be like you run into health problems that teach you, like you have to figure out a way to like, oh, this food has been giving me like chronic blah, blah, blah. And I had to do like a year of experimentation to figure out how to like get healthy. That's what I see the north node and the six. Yep. But your Venus is powerful. So like you understand relationships, and Taurus is like a down to earth, like in the senses type of sign. So like you're being drawn in that direction, and your relationships are in that wheelhouse too. So with relationships, you're actually also, like I said, checking things off the list, treating it like a daily routine. Like, oh, I forgot to, you know, do this today with you, Ben, and you guys are together, right? Ben and Lene. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know, checking things off the list for Ben, for like, oh, I forgot to like, not, I don't know. It's a awkward thing to like explain, but it's kind of like treating relationships like,
it's a tasks, daily effort.
daily effort, daily experimentation with like what works, what doesn't. It's kind of like,
that's probably true with everybody though. I mean, but I mean, it could be
totally
to a greater extent.
But
let's so Ben's got to go pretty soon. So let's move on to Ben's chart, and then we can do ours afterwards. If Ben has to leave after that, that's fine. But we can move on to ours afterwards. So we'll go with Ben's second, so that we can do
okay. Cool.
And we can, so, and that'll be easier too. So we can see how it relates to Linnea's chart too.
Yeah. So you guys see Ben?
Yeah, it looks chaotic as fuck. I would expect nothing less.
Got a lot of shit opposite. Fucking pointing in my seventh house.
Yeah. So seventh house is you have a stellium in Libra in the seventh house. You, like Linnea, have a strong Venus, because the two signs that Venus rules is Taurus and Libra. You have Venus in Libra. Your moon is in Libra. And because so you're in Aries rising, so you're Mars ruled, and your Mars is in the third house, Gemini. Now, Ben, for you, most recently, like, just to relate to what's happening currently with the stars, like Mars has been in Gemini since August, and it went retrograde starting around Halloween, and you have Mars in Gemini at 14 degrees. So the Mars, like all these planets, I guess not all of them, the sun and the moon don't go retrograde, but all the planets at a certain point go retrograde. Mars goes retrograde every 2 years. But it went retrograde in your chart where your natal Mars is. So
okay, I'm fucking retarded. What do you mean by retrograde?
Retrograde is when in the sky, like all everything is moving chronologically, like, you know, from Aries to Taurus. Everything moves through these degrees. Okay. But because of the rotation of the planets at certain points, because they're like elliptical. Long story short, from our point of view on Earth, they stop and move backwards through the wheel. Everything is usually moving through, like the sun and the moon always move through the wheel chronologically.
Okay.
But then certain planets have different retrograde cycles where they move backwards in the degrees. So Mars entered Gemini in August and then made it all the way to the end. And then it right around Halloween stationed retrograde and started moving backwards through Gemini. Then in January stationed direct and then started moving forward again. And it's not until March 24th, I think, that Mars leaves Gemini and goes into Cancer. So because you're in Aries rising and because Mars is in Gemini right now, that transit would have affected you more. So I'm a Scorpio rising, so I have my ruling planet is also Mars, and I don't know, did anything happen like energy wise like a lot of, because Mars is like your driving force, it's like the spunk, it's like you're like it's a fired up, it's like what gets you out of bed in the morning, it's exerting your energy in the world. And when it goes retrograde, that's like a disruption to that. So I don't know if late 2022 was particularly like difficult for you or anything.
Actually, there was after 18 months of basically working 60 hours a week, right at the beginning of December of 2022, I had to postpone and pay a late fee for rent, which I've never had to do before. Financially, it has been tight because all of my overtime went away. Tax return wasn't as much as I thought it was going to be to catch up. Like, yeah, that on that side, it is. Everything else, no.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, that like I said, Aries rising. So I was describing like the first day of spring energy. It's like Mars is the planet of war and conflict, so it's like, you know, an aggressive confrontational energy that is like in your first house. So you're ruled by Mars and it's in Gemini, so it's really a war of words. So the whole Mars, like I said, Mars is gonna it's out of its retrograde now, but a lot of people in late 2022, you know, for certain people, it was like an injury. For certain people, it was just kind of like low energy. But either way, that's your ruling planet. And on March 24th, it'll be out of your third house. And again, the third house is like related to communication. So that's like where I just wanted to throw that out there because it's kind of more recent.
There were other things going on too, but yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely went through it.
You forgot, huh?
I don't know, Mars retrograde transits. It's like in a best case scenario, your Mars is like, you're like energetic, awake, you know,
always
ready to fired up, ready to
like fight, money,
quote unquote. But when it's retrograde, it's like moving backwards. It's kind of like rewinding and reversing, and it makes you revisit.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Whatever you were kind of working on. So even in the third house, like I said, third house is your neighbors, your neighborhood. It's more of the trade school, you know, jack of all trades, practical skills, versus opposite is the ninth house, which is like PhD level, like deep studies. But yeah, and you have this stellium up here in the seventh house. So I don't know you. I would assume you're like, I mean, you're in a relationship right now, but certain people are like more relationship centric than others. Kind of a negative way to describe it would be like codependent, but it's not like, oh, you're like codependent, you're like so weak. It's just like, no, it's actually like other people are actually very important to you. That's even the sign of Libra itself, because Libra is like the scales. It's in Libra season is the first day of fall. So it's pumpkin spice latte season. It's like beautiful. It's ruled by Venus.
Fuck you.
Well, you're Ben. I mean, on the surface, Ben is Aries. So Ben is like the first to say fuck you. You know, it's Mars. Mars ruled. Mars in the communication sign of Gemini, but like other people are really important for you. Like, so in the seventh house, it's like wife is usually the go-to. It's like a long-term relationship, or it's an official relationship. It could also be like a business partnership. The fifth house is, which you have Jupiter in Leo. The fifth house is like flings and romance and games and fun and pleasures. It's just like carefree, loose. And the seventh house is like, we're signing a prenup. This is real. Like, we're really together. But it's also just in a very general sense, like other people. Because the first house is you, the individual. The other people is what's opposite that. Because everything in the wheel is like very yin and yang. You also have Saturn, Uranus, you have Saturn conjunct the midheaven point in the 10th house, Capricorn, also with Neptune and Uranus. So people born in the early 90s all pretty much have Neptune and Uranus kind of together. So like, I know a lot, I was born in 87, so my Uranus was still in Sagittarius, but so a lot of your chart is in focused areas. So like,
that's what I was going to ask you about, is I was like, it seems like it's very regimented into a cross section.
Yeah. And the cross section, like,
right.
That's why I said with Lene, that she's a Sagittarius rising, and now Saturn is moving through the mutable signs. You're like, those, the first, fourth, seventh, and tenth houses in this cross are the most important, technically. Like, everything in between is kind of like secondary. But these are the main subjects of life, which is the first house is you, the individual, fourth house, home and family, seventh house, partnership or other people or long-term relationships.
No,
10th house is career, like career in the big sense. The sixth house, which is where Linnae's Venus and North Node was, is like the work, the daily work. But the 10th house is like capital C career. Like, what is my legacy? It's the most visible part of the whole chart. In this point, the midheaven point is technically the highest point in the sky. So that's kind of like a sensitive point that's related to career and public image. So you have Saturn in Capricorn up there. Again, Saturn is the ruler of Capricorn, and you, but you would be considered, I think you would be a night chart, but either way, so like your Saturn return, which was from like 2018 to 2022, was somehow related to career. And like, so whatever lesson you had to learn back then was more about your career. With Lene, it was about herself as an individual, even though it sounds like having a child was like what what taught that selfhood lesson. Yours was like all about the career in the big sense. So it, I mentioned that the outer planets are not technically a part of like the traditional scheme of astrology. So like, they're these far out planets that just kind of float through space and then change signs every like 12 years, you know? So, but in the early 90s, Uranus and Neptune were together. So like, everybody your age has that Uranus Neptune. Neptune is kind of like the imagination gone wild. It's very ungrounded. It's like not reality. It's kind of like fantasy, and it can be delusional. And Uranus is this rebellious, shaking things up force that, you know, is a rebellious kind of revolutionary, innovative thing that wants to shake things up. And then, so these are two outer planets that everybody in the early 90s had kind of together. So y'all are all kind of similar. And I don't know, my younger brother and his friends all have this. And
I thought you were going to say y'all are kind of stupid, because that's what I was going for. Yeah. But that's,
I was going to say, it's like I see it as like a partying and a substance abuse thing. Like, no. I mean, it's not to say that
shocker,
people that don't have that don't party or don't have substance abuse, but that's just my observation. Like the kids, like we would party, and I don't even know who would party harder, but I think people that are like your age had just like more of like a kind of like a deep draw to like,
that's
disassociate
exactly
and get fucked up.
What I was just about to ask was it more of like a stronger draw, therefore a stronger struggle to negate the draw because that draw is stronger?
Yeah, I was just bringing that up as like, you know, because these are generational planets. So right, like Uranus and Neptune just came together for a while in the beginning of the 90s, but then Saturn was there too. So Saturn is the serious, responsible planet. What I was getting at with you is the 10th house is the house of career, and Capricorn is the like CEO energy. It's an ambitious sign, and Saturn being there is kind of a good thing. You know, it's putting strictness on your approach to career. It's putting responsibility and patience on your career. It's still the greater malefic, so it's hard, but it's close to your midheaven point in your 10th house in Capricorn. So you've got like the drive and the serious, like long-term planning for your career, but you and everyone else your age also has Uranus and Neptune there. So that kind of causes a little confusion and a little bit of erratic perspective to your career. So on the one hand, like I said, you're focused and you're like serious and you want to be ambitious and you want to be in for the long game and you have like the shark mentality. Like I think Capricorn is the first day of winter. So it's literally starting from the bottom of the shortest day of the year and slowly climbing to reach the mountaintop. So like, and it's that cold Saturnian time of year. So that's you yourself are not cold and Saturnian. You're more spicy and fiery and Aries like, but your career, that space is like, there is, I could see you having, you know, being ambitious with that and taking it really seriously, but just be, I would say with Uranus and Neptune together, like be realistic and realize you're like, I'm like going overboard with these fantasies or these like wild inspirations or intuitions, like focus more on like the building block style of Saturn. But again, these are making a square to the relationship part of your chart, which is the most highlighted. So work, like the cross, the first house, seventh house, fourth house, 10th house cross is like the cornerstone of the wheel, you know, and it's the most important parts of people's lives. I mean, it's the most basic stuff, like who you're with, who you are, where you live and what you do for work. But the work relationship balance, I think, is key to be aware of and work on, because you have Saturn squaring your Venus. So again, you have a strong Venus. You are relationship centric. You want like other people, even though you're like an independent, like Aries rising, Aries is very independent. Aries is me, me, me. Libra is us, us, us. And it's like the time of year, the first day of spring, you're just like shooting out of cabin fever, like fuck everyone else. It's the first day of real like warm weather.
Squirrely.
And Libra is like cuffing season almost. It's like the pretty leaves are changing, the pumpkin spice lattes are out. I want to get cozy with my special someone.
Faggots.
Right. So, and that's the yin and yang. That's like the Libra versus Aries. So, and then the Capricorn, like I said, is the CEO vibe. So your Venus and Mercury are close together. So like you again, Mercury is communication. So you can technically communicate, beautifully, like Venus is the planet of beauty. So like you actually, if you wanted to, can be poetic or just like diplomatic is really a good thing with Libra, because it's like, let's all get along, let's meet in the middle, let's balance it out.
You would be correct on all fronts, sir.
And so like, yeah, you can like have a diplomatic way of communicating. You can think in terms of other people really well. Even your moon, like these are all, you know, close enough together, moon, Venus, Mercury, sun. So you really can be the diplomat, even though you are the fighter. First and foremost, you're ruled by Mars. Mars is in Gemini. So you are a word fighter, but relationships are important, but they also are, there's a funky, like, work relationship balance that are at odds with one another in a way, like, because Venus is squaring Saturn, Mercury is squaring Saturn.
It's funny that you say that, because when it comes to, I guess you could say execution of that, I feel like I do it pretty well. But the struggle with that is internal. It's the idea of how much do I need to work to be a good provider? How much work do I give up to be a good significant other, a good father? And that's a mental thing for me. It's not, I wouldn't say that it's so much on execution. I would say that that is like a constant struggle with me. If I don't take the extra overtime at work, I feel like I'm not providing. If I take that extra overtime at work and I do it for a week, I feel like I'm neglecting my family.
Totally. And I mean, that makes sense, because Mercury is the thinking, Venus is the relationships, the moon is your feelings, and the sun is your ego. And those are all blended together. Technically, they're all close together. So it's like one entity almost.
So basically, and Ben is just a walking clusterfuck, which I've suspected from the time he was born.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if I want to play this game anymore.
I wouldn't say clusterfuck. I would definitely say, like, you know, there is a focus. There's a focus.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm always focused for the most part.
There's a focus on the, and that's if you were a totally spread out chart, it would be like a little bit more, a little bit of everything. But the focus is really relationship and career. So,
well, so far you've hit pretty much everything on the head, and this is from a subjective knowing of these people for quite some time. So
yeah,
for us, it's really crazy to hear it, because these are things I could tell Ben all day.
Right.
And you would agree with. So to have somebody else, and it's not like we don't know you, we've known you for a couple of years, but still to know the intricacies of what they're talking about, or what the,
yeah. You know, I mean, I listen to your guys' show, so I'm a little, I know your personalities from what you put out. And I mean, I'm not like listening, like taking notes and stuff, but like, I could definitely, I hear the, I heard the Aries energy with Ben, because I think Ben, you like to debate and stuff.
Yes.
But even when I just was like, oh, you can speak and be diplomatic, like your speech and your thoughts are actually kind of diplomatic, like that makes more sense now, I guess. Mm-hmm. But the work relationship balance is key, and it is a mental thing. Saturn is the heavy planet and Mercury is the mind. Blending with the relationship, blending with your ego, blending with your feelings, you know. So you are a Libran person with all of this stuff. And that's probably a really good thing for Lene, because like you probably
have a balancing act.
There's a lot of focus on her. Like some people have empty seventh houses and are like single all the time and like couldn't give a fuck, you know, or whatever. But I would definitely, like, with your career, and even you said you have kids.
I do.
So you have Jupiter in the fifth house, which is like, you know, also the house of kids. So like your kids really bring like the fun, expansive, like good vibes out. And the interesting thing is your south node. Like I said, the south node is always opposite the north node, mm-hmm. and the north node's what you're getting pulled towards. So your south node is in the fun fifth house space, and you're getting pulled towards the 11th house space, which is actually more social. So that's saying that like you came in, I guess, with a happy-go-lucky child-like energy, but maybe like caring about social networks or caring about your friend group or caring or being invested in like networking is new territory that as you get older you're gonna get, you know, pulled more in that direction too. And what was the other thing?
I was gonna ask you, go ahead and finish your thought, but I was gonna say, what's the eighth house and what's going on with that?
So the eighth house is the second house. Taurus is where it's considered your money. And the eighth, what's opposite that, the eighth house is other people's money. And that could mean inheritances, taxes, or like shared business ventures, I guess. I don't know. The eighth house is my least favorite house to describe because I don't even really understand it that well. But it's there's modern astrology, which is like the astrology that everybody hates on, like from the 70s, like boomers, just like they just like make everything nice and bubbly and positive. And then there's the ancient astrology, which is like recently translated texts from like the Hellenistic era, and they're like very bleak. And they say the bad houses are the sixth house, eighth house, and 12th. So I don't know. The eighth house is, and you have Pluto there, and that's a far out planet. Everybody that most of us have Pluto in Scorpio, because that was like in the 80s into the 90s. Right. So yeah, you have Pluto just kind of floating out there. It's kind of sextile your Saturn and Capricorn, but Pluto is like an intense outer planet of like the three outer planets are Pluto, Uranus, and Neptune. And Pluto is like the planet of death and rebirth. It's a really like intense kind of destructive force. It's like, it's kind of like a wrecking ball, and Pluto is about to move into Aquarius. So like there's a lot of geopolitical stuff like brewing with that. And that'll be interesting.
I think I heard you mention that the US's Pluto return is happening now or just happened. And that's interesting with the timing with COVID and everything like that too.
Yeah. And Saturn Pluto conjunction. I mean, that's like a whole nother rabbit hole of like all of the stuff happening in the 2020s. Cause there's a shitload of like outer planet configurations that are like changing the collective. But when these outer planets like are, if they're kind of just floating, you're pretty much in the clear.
You mean when they're not conjuncted with something else that would bring a greater importance to it?
Yeah. So like you know, Linne had Neptune right next to Mars. So Neptune is like coming out more down to Earth for her on more of a personal level. But for you, it's kind of just floating out there. So, but I mean, if we were to analyze that, it would be like, all right, the transformative forces of death and rebirth are affecting your life related to inheritances, taxes, or like shared resources, other people's money. So hopefully that answered the question. And I hate describe, because like modern astrologers will be like, it's the house of the occult, it's the house of sex, it's the house of like mystery. But the ancient astrologers are like, when your father dies and you inherit his estate, you know, it's like old school, because they had different I mean, it was more of a thing when it was more of like an aristocratic world, I guess. But it still applies today. I mean, people still get inheritances today.
Well, the only thing.
Well, real quick, dude, unless there's something important specifically that you'd like to point out that, you know, maybe interesting or that I should know, I'll turn it over to Joe and Jen so that we can go. Yeah, I mean, thank you, anybody who is listening to this. This guy is great. If you guys get a chance, I would highly recommend doing this. Really appreciate it, Dan. This was very interesting. I've never understood astrology. I've never given a fuck about it. But having this broken down like that, it was very interesting. And I didn't find something that was off about what you explained. The 2018 to 2022 and the whole career, that was fucking mind blowing. So yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, my pleasure. I know you guys are like fun podcasters. I didn't know if I was going to maybe get roasted, but you're into it. But yeah, I'm happy to do it. And thanks for letting me.
I would do it to your face.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, it is what it is. I'm, right. I didn't choose this life. This life chose me. And now I make calendars and make YouTube videos.
Well, thank you, sir. And definitely have to have you on another time when we can without doing like a personalized chart, I would love to ask more questions about this. So we'll see you next time.
But you can do your own personal natal chart. Dan will do that for you. What's your website again?
CosmicKeysPodcast.com. And again, I'm doing the legit 23 discount code for just anything in the store. So if you did want to order the calendar or if you did want to book a session, it would be 30% off. So that'll last for the next month.
All right. Well, I'll put that in the show notes for sure, as well as your link tree or whatever, you know, whatever other links you have. But Dan is the man. Go get one of his. I mean, if you're interested in this stuff and you know what the fuck all these different houses and stuff are, get his calendar, because that is very helpful.
I'm
buying the
calendar right now.
Exactly. Sorry. Which day.
I loved your last calendar.
Yeah. And it's great artwork, too. It's not just like a calendar of planets and shit. No, it has artwork for every
it's beautiful
for every month. But dude, thank you so much. We will be chatting with you again soon, I'm sure. And
yeah, thanks for having me on. Keep up the great work. I like your I legit listen to your show, so
hell yeah, thank you so much.
I enjoy it.
Thank you for doing all of this.
I listen to your show. We're just going back.
I know. I do too. Yeah, we listen to you too. I love it's a break from just people are eating babies and everyone's getting murdered. It's like, okay, well, here's what's happening. We'll tie some truther stuff in with astrology, which is what you do.
I need on Monday mornings when I'm usually hungover is to have a chill voice that sounds like he's high, which is probably true. I'm not going to say
that's my Mercury in Cancer. I'm like, hey, everybody. People like, he's so chill. I'm like, I'm really not that chill, but
I'm really
chill.
Wound up right now. All right, you guys have a great night. Thanks everybody on Rockfin Audio, YouTube, everything. We will talk to you soon.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.